Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we continue our study. And we studied most of the chapter last week. We're going to finish out the chapter, chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, and we're going to read that. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." An incredible passage of scripture, and we've heard it many times probably. And tonight we're going to take this look at what it is to be a new creation. What it looks like to be a new creation. And digging into this passage of scripture, the question for us to challenge ourselves with today: what would you do if you were offered a new beginning, a fresh start? You look at your life, you look at all the things that have gone on, you look at the mess that you're maybe in, and somebody just walks up and says, "Here's a fresh start for you." What would you do with that fresh start? We have testimony after testimony after testimony throughout the Bible that gives us examples of what people did with that new beginning, with that fresh start, with that second chance, with that grace, right? And some of them, they took that grace and they understood it and they changed their ways. They changed their life. They walked in the newness of life. And then others had to be rattled around a little bit, had to be shaken up a little bit, had to be redirected from time to time to be brought to the place. Like Jonah, we think of, you know. God's like, "Hey, I want you to go here." He's like, "Nah, I'm not going to go to Nineveh." And so God said, "No, you are going to go to Nineveh." And so sometimes God has to intervene and put us in the place that we belong. But God gives us that chance. He gives us the opportunity to walk in the newness of life. And so we look at tonight that question, that challenge: what would you do if you were offered a fresh start, if you were offered a new beginning? Well, today we look at this passage and we study through it, and we're going to really see that every single one of us, as we are in Christ, have been offered a fresh start. So really the question is, what are you going to do with that fresh start? What are we going to do with the opportunity that's been set before us to walk in the newness of life? We have this tendency to look back at the glory years, right? Things from the past, and think about how great it was, rather than looking forward to what will God do with the future. Or we look back and we look at the mess that we're in, or we look at the things, the terrible things that have gone on, and we regret. But rather, walking in the newness of life is given the opportunity to have a fresh start and to move forward in the grace of God. And we've all been given this opportunity to become a new creation. And so here in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, we see a few things. In verse 17, it starts out to say, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Being in Christ gives us something so incredible, something that is mind-blowing. I sat down with a great brother of ours who's been coming to our church a long, long time. You guys, many of you guys know Les, right? And he's had some physical complications, and he's home, and I got to sit down with him at his house today and just visit with him. Sat on his porch and a couple lawn chairs, and we're just talking. And he had gotten some news from a doctor just the other day, and within that news, the doctor's trying to give him some advice of how he could treat this. And he's like, "Are you going to give me new life?" That's what he asked the doctor. He's like, "It's not like you're going to give me new life, you know?" And he's arguing with the doctor. If you know Les, he likes to do what he likes to do, you know? And so he's saying that, "Are you going to give me new life?" And that's the reality of what we're looking at right here is, yes, we get new life. That's an amazing thing. Jesus brings new life. Jesus brings a new creation because he died to the depths, right? And then he rose again. In his new life, he brought us new life. He brought life out of death because he came from death to life, a new creation. And as we look at that word, you think of the word, the new creation. It has nothing to do with the old thing. It has nothing to do with the old way. It has nothing to do with what it used to look like. A new creation is a new thing. How many of you guys have an iPhone? A lot of people have an iPhone. Every year they come out with a so-called new iPhone, right? But they trick you every time because they come out with like the iPhone 5, and then they're like, the next year, instead of, you would think, next would be iPhone 6, right? No, it's iPhone 5S. And they make you think that it's actually a new thing. It looks exactly the same. There's the tiniest little thing inside the phone with, you know, some faster processor, right? And that's it. But they convince you that it's a whole new thing. But really, it's not, because it looks a lot like the other one. It operates a lot like the other one. There's just some tiny little thing inside that we can't even understand that works somehow very differently. And then they come out with the 6, and then the 6S, then the 7. They haven't come out with it yet, but next is going to be the 7S, right? So we all learn to understand that S means same, right? 5, then 5, same. 6, same. It's the same thing. It hasn't changed. It's not new. They're trying to fool us. They're trying to tell us this is a new thing. It's super exciting, and they want your money. And we give it to them. Yeah, sure. It's the new thing. Give me the new upgrade. Of course I want the upgrade. Just bill it to me monthly. We are somehow convinced that these are new things, but we are totally fooled. It's not like that at all. In our walk with God, we have been made new, completely new. And in being made new, we should look nothing like we used to. Now, some of us can look at our past and say, man, I was really wretched. It was a nasty, dirty past. And so I don't look anything like that. But maybe some of us, it's like, well, you know, I wasn't that bad of a person. The reality is we should look different today than we did yesterday. Being a new creation is a daily thing that takes place. Something totally new that doesn't resemble the old version in any way. So take a minute and think about the old version of you. Think about yesterday's version of you. Are you different today? Because every day we need to draw closer and closer to Jesus. So how does this happen? It happens, it says there in the very first line, if anyone is in Christ. That's how we become a new creation. It's not like, okay, how do I remake myself? How do I reform myself? How do I make myself into a better person? We don't. We draw closer to Jesus. We draw closer to Jesus, and then we start looking more like Jesus, demonstrating more of his character. You know, the funny thing is we often expect more out of old things and less out of new things. We like the old way. We like the old ritual. We like to be comfortable, right? We like to know how things work and to operate in those things. Oftentimes, we expect great morality out of somebody who maybe is not a new creation. And yet, somebody who is a new creation, a believer in Jesus Christ, who is in Christ, who is a new creation, and we excuse some of the old behavior. But then in the non-Christians, in the people who are not in Christ, who do not have their relationship with him, and they do something completely immoral, we're like, I can't believe this. This is unbelievable that somebody would do this. Why is it unbelievable? They're walking in old ways. That's who they are. But then the believer, we need to hold ourselves accountable to that standard of being a new creation and not looking the same, not acting the same way, not demonstrating the same characteristics. Christians, we are in Christ. We are a new creation. We shouldn't look like the old creation. If you're going to remodel your kitchen, you want to remodel your kitchen, right? Let's say, you know, one of those kiosks in the mall that you could sign up to win, right? You win the kitchen remodel. You get that kitchen remodel, and then they come in, and you're like, well, I was thinking maybe we should keep the old cabinets and the old countertop and the old sink. Just hold on to them and try to make this somehow new. Really? That's not going to work. You're not getting a new kitchen. You're getting an old kitchen. Well, let's just paint the walls around it. Well, you have the opportunity for a new one. If you have the opportunity to make it, to rebuild your kitchen, to remodel your kitchen, you're going to remodel your kitchen. You're not going to say, you know, I kind of like the sink that squirts out in all different directions. Let's hold on to it. Right? We don't want to hold on to the old thing. We want to remodel. We want a new thing. And Jesus brings new life from his life, and we need to embrace it. So then he continues on in verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. First of all, this is a work of God. If anyone, now all things are of God, right? All things are a work of God. And now we're talking about being a new creation, and we're talking about reconciliation. There is nowhere in our way, in our mind, in our ability that we can perform those tasks of becoming a new creation, of reconciling ourselves to God. Impossible. But God does the work. This is a work of God. This is not a work of man. He reconciles us to himself. The crazy thing about reconciliation is it should be the other way around. He's done nothing wrong. We're the ones who have sinned. We're the ones who fall short. We're the ones who need to try to reconcile, right? When we do something wrong and we know we've done something wrong, what do we do about it? We do whatever it takes, right? To try to win over that person, to reconcile that relationship. I'm so sorry. I love when my kids is like, one of them does something to the other one. It's like, don't tell mommy. I'll take care of this for you. Or, oh, here, you could have my toy, you know, and they try to reconcile on the spot so that big problems don't happen. But that's what our reconciliation looks like, is these little things. It's like, oh, I wronged you. I'm really sorry. What can I do to make it right? Nothing, really. That's when forgiveness comes in. But see, we have done the wrong. Therefore, we are the ones who should be trying to reconcile God to ourselves. But yet, the one who's done absolutely nothing wrong, God reconciling us to himself. It's an amazing role reversal. And we've done a great many things wrong. We need to reconcile, but Christ does the work of reconciliation. And that's where it says that first line in verse 18, all things are of God. The two things so far that we're talking about is a new creation and reconciliation. Those two things are of God and of him alone. We can't do it. We don't have that ability. We don't have that strength. We don't have that power. We don't have that compassion, that humility. Those things are only of God. And then on top of that, it says he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. For what purpose? He gave us the example of reconciliation and then the ministry of reconciliation so that we could reconcile to one another. We are so quick to hold on to grudges. We are so quick to remember the wrongs that somebody has done against us. And we like to stack those things up and match them up to the wrongs maybe that we've done. Or we try to stack those things up and see then how does this work? How does reconciliation at that point take place? We try to figure it out for ourselves. But he's given us the ministry, the example, and the ministry of reconciliation so that we could understand, wow, we've been given so much grace. We've been offered so many opportunities, and God reconciles us to himself. So who are we not to reconcile with one another when something has gone wrong within our relationships? It's a challenge that really for all of us, because we all have certain relationships and certain issues that come up. And we always win through humility. We always win through reconciling people to ourselves, even if we're, hey, I think I'm 100% right and they're 100% wrong. Well, what's so wrong about humility in that situation? That's the example that Jesus set. That's the first thing I tell couples in premarital counseling. We start that process with them, and I say, you never lose with humility. Pride might win you an argument, but it will lose you relationship. And that's what reconciliation is all about. It's about the relationship. What's more important? Is it more important that we prove that we're right, or is it more important that we maintain a relationship of love? We've been talking a lot about it in 2 Corinthians and especially on Sunday mornings in Romans. Owe no one anything but love, right? Don't have accounts that are negative. Don't have problems with people. Just give them love, give them grace. And reconcile. That's the example. Those are the words that Paul is speaking to us, and Jesus demonstrates to us in the fact that he died for us. And that's what we go the next part. If we consider this, the fact that God reconciles us to himself, we would be much quicker to reconcile with one another. Because we can look at whatever problems we're having with people and ask ourselves the question, what are we holding on to here? Because we put Jesus on a cross, and then he reconciled us to himself. So whatever anybody has done to us does not stack up to being hung on a cross. Yet he still reconciled us to himself. As he says, as Paul says it here, our trespasses are not imputed to us. We're not held accountable, and they're not stacked up against us. Those are our wrongs, our sins, our trespasses are not stacked up against us. Why? Because then they were imputed to Christ instead. They were passed off. They were handed off to Jesus. He took on our sin and shame, and that's how the reconciliation happens. Continue on verse 20. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So this is Paul writing these words, that we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a messenger who has come with a specific message. An ambassador works for the one who sent them. And he doesn't care what the audience thinks. He's not there to impress or win over the people that he's delivering a message to. And this is Paul saying, listen, I know I might upset some of you guys, but too bad, because I am an ambassador for Christ. And what God wants me to say is way more important than what you want to hear. It's tough to hear these things sometimes. It's tough when somebody comes to us and like, hey, there's this issue that I see in your life. This is something that I see you're struggling with. And it totally just rubs us the wrong way. And we might get mad at that person. We might run away. We might leave the church because somebody called us out. I don't want to see that person again. This is the challenge. But we are ambassadors, he says. So I'm not concerned about what you all think. Is that's his audience. He's like, I don't care what my audience thinks. I have a job to do. Now, an ambassador is not just a messenger, but really somebody who is bought in to what their message is. Somebody who believes in the message. And for Paul, that message was the gospel, the good news. He's talking about becoming a new creation and the work, the ministry of reconciliation. This is all good news. It might be a little bit painful to go through the process, and we might get upset along the way, and we might have to work hard and work out our salvation, as Paul writes in Philippians, right? But we might have to do these things, but it's all worth it because we become something new. We become a new creation. But nonetheless, Paul is not embarrassed, he's not afraid, he's not concerned about what pleasing the audience. Rather, he's concerned about doing what his master has sent him to do, and that is to speak truth. An ambassador says what they're instructed to say. But as I said, it's so much more. They not only say it just because they're fulfilling an obligation, but they believe it. And we can read these same words here in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and challenge ourselves. Are we ambassadors? Paul says this a number of times throughout his epistles. He says it in Ephesians also. He says, for I am an ambassador in chains that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. So are we able to say, as Paul is saying here, as he says a number of other times, I am an ambassador and I am sent by Jesus and I plead with you. I have good news for you and I plead with you to what? Be reconciled to God. That's so easy. Do we understand that? Being reconciled to God is so much easier than trying to reconcile God to us because he's done nothing wrong. He's done the work of reconciliation. We just have to receive the reconciliation. And so as Paul says it here, he's pleading. He says, we plead with you on Christ's behalf. These are heavy words. This isn't just like, I plead with you on my friend's behalf over here. I'm talking to you because my mother sent me, or my wife sent me, or my cousin sent me, or it's not. I plead with you on Christ's behalf, on the one who died on the cross for your sins, on his behalf, I plead with you to be reconciled to God. God is pleading with us to be reconciled to him. To be reconciled to God is to embrace the grace. He's done the work. We just have to receive it, be thankful for it, and walk in the newness of life. He pleads for relationship to be repaired. And remember that tonight. Remember that reconciliation is all about the relationship. It breaks down the barriers of disagreements. And it puts the emphasis on the relationship. And that's what we need to remember in our relationships with other people. And we remember the reconciliation that took place through Jesus. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous. This is the way of reconciliation. This is how the reconciliation happens. God demands righteousness. He always has demanded righteousness, and he always will demand righteousness. But yet he knew that we couldn't be righteous on our own. From the very beginning, he created man in his own image, he gave man free will, and then righteousness went out the window. Okay? That's the process. And people often ask the question, well, what if Adam never sinned? What if Eve never sinned? Then somebody else would have done it. It's not like we would be here thousands of years later saying, yeah, we're all perfect now. Thank you, Adam and Eve, for not sinning. We've all sinned. Somebody else would have done it. But so God looked at man and he had a plan for righteousness. He knew that man couldn't be righteous, and yet he still made a way for righteousness. He made us righteous. And how is right here in 2 Corinthians 5:21? For he made him who knew no sin. Who are we talking about here? It's Jesus. For he made him, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus, who was sinless, became sin for us. This speaks of a great sacrifice, and it speaks of great love. Why would anybody want to become something so low for anybody else? Because of love and because of sacrifice. He was sinless and he became sin. He didn't become a sinner. He became sin. He took on the shame. He took on the weight of sin so that we could be reconciled to God. So that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Through Jesus alone, we are made righteous. And we're clothed in his righteousness. So God, who demands righteousness, sees us now as righteous. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done in reconciling us to himself through his son, Jesus. The work that Jesus did on the cross, the work that he did in his resurrection, is all that's necessary for us to be made righteous. And through that, we are clothed in his righteousness. So when God looks at us, he sees us as righteous. That's an incredible gift, guys. We can't forget that. We can't forget that incredible gift of righteousness that is just placed upon us. And so these things that we see taking place here, in the beginning we talked about being a new creation. We talked about how the old things pass away. We talked about how we shouldn't look anything like we used to. We should demonstrate new characteristics. So a new creation, then we see reconciliation, and then at the end we see a transformation in how we are made something totally different. We're made something that we can't do on our own, and that's righteous. In Ephesians chapter 4, you could turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 4. We begin in verse 17. It says, Ephesians 4:17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, but of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. And it talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. It's a practical breakdown right there in the scripture for us. We often live according to the old man, according to the old covenant, trying to cover our own sin, trying to reconcile for ourselves. We sin and we try to do whatever it takes to cover up our sin or to reconcile for our sin. Yet these things are impossible. And this passage speaks to us of putting off the sin, putting off the old man, and putting on the new ways, putting off the old ways, putting off the corruption, it says, putting off the lust, but put on a new man, put on new ways, put on righteousness, and put on holiness, it says. And then gives us a list there of what things to put off. And further down, it speaks of lying, anger, bitterness, clamor, evil speaking. These are not spiritual things. These are not good things. This is the old man, the old ways. And if they're part of our lives, that's when we need to evaluate our lives. Who are we? Really, who are we? Are we walking in newness of life, or are we holding on to the old ways of bitterness, of lying, of anger? We need to be reminded that these are works of the flesh. And then it says to put on kindness, to put on tenderheartedness, to put on forgiveness. And even into chapter 5, it tells us to put on love, to put on light, to put on wisdom, to walk in these ways. That's what a new creation is. That's what it looks like to be reconciled to God. Is you look like something that you've never looked like before. And so I challenge you guys in the beginning, if given a new start, a fresh start, what would you do with it? Walk in newness of life every single day. We've been studying through Romans, and in Romans chapter 12, we'll close with these words. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing our mind, filling our minds with the Word of God, filling our minds with the things of God, walking in the newness of life. That's what it looks like to be a new creation. And the thing is, we could sit here all day and talk about the old ways, and we can list, probably everybody in this room could list all of the old ways. You know what they are in your life. You know the old ways. And you know that there's not one of us who has arrived in our relationship with the Lord. There's not one of us who could say, I am completely a new creation, and all I do is walk in the newness of life, and I have really no problems at all. Well, one problem is that you are a liar. Because we walk through sinful things because we are sinners and we cannot be on our own righteous, but we're made righteous. We're clothed in righteousness. Our responsibility is to renew our minds. Our responsibility is to take on the righteousness of Christ and just receiving it. Embrace the grace. Let that be a phrase that we remember. Embrace the grace. We so quickly forget the work that he's done in giving us newness of life, in making us a new creation, in reconciling us to himself. He doesn't deserve that, but yet he does it anyway. And it's not that he needs us. He did it for us. He desires intimacy with us. He desires relationship with us. So he made a way for it. Because we can't connect to God on our own. There is no bridge to go across that gap on our own. But Jesus made a way of reconciliation. He connected those dots. He brought us to God. That's what reconciliation talks about, and that's what we want to remember, is that Jesus brought us near to God. Why would we want to move farther away? It's a challenge that we have to continue daily to challenge ourselves to keep drawing near. As we draw near, he draws near. And we just keep going through that cycle. It's a great cycle. I draw near, then he draws near. And I draw near, and he draws near. And I draw near, and we could just go round and round and round and round. That's a good cycle to be stuck in. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. And that's when we do that, we experience newness every single day. We experience his grace every single day. We walk in that newness of life. So he made us a new creation. He brought reconciliation. He made a way for transformation. We're righteous because he's righteous. And he gave us the opportunity to be clothed in his righteousness through Jesus. Through the cross. And tonight as we close, I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him and you have not been reconciled to God. Well, I plead with you tonight, as Paul said in these verses, I plead with you to be reconciled to God.